Today I'm explaining about what hardens our heart towards God. Obviously, sin will do that, but sin isn't the only thing or even the dominant thing that causes a hardened heart towards God. You need to stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing the series that I started talking about hardness of heart. And this is one of my favorite things to minister on. This has just revolutionized my life. It's given me an answer. And it's not the kind of thing that you just learn one time and then you've got it. This is kind of like, some people may not appreciate this comparison, but it's kind of like golf. You know, you get to where you try, but you don't ever master it. You just get to where you think you're doing better, and about the time you think you're doing better, boy, you can mess up big time. And it's the same thing with this. You don't ever get to where your heart is so sensitive to God that you've arrived and that you don't have to do anything. Man, we have life circumstances, situations come along. Our life isn't static. Mine isn't anyway, to where I can just sit there and have a routine that every day I do this, this, and this. You know what? There's things that happen and you're constantly adjusting. And this teaching on hardness of heart is something that I use every day of my life. I'm excited about it. And I'm excited about the potential that this has for impacting your life. I really encourage you to get the materials that we've been offering. And like I said, I'm about 10 days into this teaching, and there is no way I can go back and summarize the things that we've already covered, and so I encourage you to get those materials. But we are now talking about what is it that causes a heart to become hardened towards God. The word hardened means to be cold, insensitive, unfeeling, or unyielding. And here in Mark chapter 6, verse 52 is one of the keys, I believe, about what causes our heart to become hardened. It says in Mark 6, 52, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." The reason our heart becomes hardened towards God is because we fail to consider God the way that we should. Now, the word consider means to study, ponder, deliberate, or examine. I believe a scriptural term would be to meditate. It's just basically talking about your focus. Where is your focus? Not just individual pieces of information. You can still retain information about God, but if you aren't focused upon it, if you don't spend time meditating upon those things, then your heart will become hardened to it. For instance, say that you understand that it's God's will for you to be healed. You have that knowledge. But you know what? If you spend more time in the world listening to what your friends have to say, reading articles about this disease will cause this, this, and this, and they don't factor into it. Now, of course, all of these things are subject to the intervention of God. If you just listen to the world and the unbelief, the criticisms against healing, and it's not always real obvious. Sometimes people don't say there is no such thing as divine intervention, but just their failure to factor that into the equation. The fact that they say, for instance, one of the things that's going around now is people talking about a pandemic where there is some kind of a bird flu. They don't say, now this is just a possibility. Now I know this for a fact. I was over in Scotland last October, I believe it was, when they first started talking about this bird flu and the pandemic, and I heard two or three reports, and this is an exact quote. The guy said, "It is not a question of if there will be a pandemic, it's just a matter of when." And he says it might be 1 year or 2 years maximum. And he says, but 1/3 of the world's population will die from this. Now that's what they said. They weren't saying that it might happen. It was adamant, this is the way it is, no options. Now, you know what that's saying? That is unbelief. That is contrary to what the Word of God says. Even if there was going to be a pandemic, which I'm not convinced that there is. As a matter of fact, I've actually got this marked on my calendar, and 2 years from that date in October, if 1/3 of the world's population hasn't died from a pandemic of bird flu, I am going to go on the airwaves and shout it from the rooftops not to believe the media anymore, because that's just like all the other false prophecies that they make. I tell you, it's wrong the way things are being done. But my point is that, see, you have this piece of information over here that God heals. All things are possible to him that believes. But over here, we are plugged into this world system that, whether it's obviously or subtly, they are countering that, saying that this is happening and this is happening, and either out and out saying that there are no options, or just the very fact that they fail to mention that, of course, all things are possible to God. Whether it's obvious or subtle, they are countering the truths of God's Word. Now, if you spend just a brief period of time thinking about what God says, but if you spend most of your time over here listening to this unbelief, you may not realize what's happening, but you are being fed a steady diet of unbelief. If that's what you're focused upon, then you are going to be more conditioned, more sensitive to unbelief than you are to faith. That's just real simple. And that's what's happening with a lot of people. There's a lot of Christians watching this program that you have some truths from God's Word, and you know that it's God's will for you to be well. You know it's God's will for you to prosper. You know that God wants you to have joy and peace, and that God is your answer to everything. And you have that knowledge, but most of us spend so much time over here in the world system, totally dominated by all of this unbelief, that even though this knowledge is here, we are insensitive to it. It's not dominating and controlling our life, because we spend such little amount of time focused on God in comparison to all of this other stuff that we're doing over there. I don't know if you've understood that or not, but that is a powerful, powerful truth. And let me go back to our original scripture that we started with, Mark chapter 6, verse 52. The reason their heart became hardened was because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now look at these disciples as an example. Again, for those of you that aren't familiar with the context of this, this is where Jesus constrained his disciples to get into the boat and to go to the other side. They ran into a storm. It looked like they were going to drown. And then Jesus just came walking on top of the water to them. When they saw Jesus, they were shocked. They were surprised. They cried out for fear. Jesus entered into the boat, and according to John chapter 6, they were just translated to the other side of the lake. And it says that they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered. And the reason that they had that shocked, surprised reaction to Jesus displaying his power, it says, is because they considered not the miracle of the loaves. Now, this is referring back to earlier in the same day where Jesus had fed 5,000 men, not including all the women and children, with 5 loaves and 2 fish, a little tiny lunch that a lad had with him. And he fed this multitude of people, gave them seconds and thirds, as much as they want, and he had more food left over than when he started. And it says, because they didn't consider the miracle of the loaves, their heart was hardened. Now, what was it that caused them not to be thinking about this awesome display of God's power? Now, see, if they'd have been thinking this way, if they'd have been thinking about how powerful it was that Jesus could take virtually nothing, something that wouldn't even satisfy an adult man, and you could feed 5,000 adult men, plus women and children and all of this, and give them as much as they want and have more left over than when you started. If somebody could do that, then you know what the logical thing to think is? That if Jesus could do that, he could walk on this water, he could do anything that they needed. See, that would have been logical. They wouldn't have been surprised. They should have been expecting Jesus to come. So what was it that turned them away from thinking about the awesome display of God's power? It wasn't out-and-out sin. It wasn't that they were reading Playboy magazines, that they were watching X-rated videos. It wasn't that they got into a fight on the boat and that they were arguing about something or plotting something ungodly. It wasn't any of the quote-unquote things that we call sin. Now, this is an important point. Because when you start talking about things that harden our hearts towards God, most Christians would just immediately think about, well, it's sin. It's my total rebellion towards God. There's some area. Maybe you're into pornography over here and you're thinking, boy, if I'm into pornography, this is going to harden my heart towards God. Well, that's true. I'm not making light of sin. Sin is one thing that will harden your heart towards God. Hebrews chapter 3 makes that very clear. But sin isn't the only thing that hardens your heart towards God. In this instance, Mark chapter 6, it wasn't the disciples' pornography, lying, stealing, drunkenness, dope addiction, or any of these things that hardened their heart towards God. You know what it was? It was them being preoccupied with trying to save their life in the midst of a terrible storm. It was just daily life. It was natural occurrences. Being occupied with survival. That'll harden your heart towards God. You don't have to be a God hater. You don't have to be a person that indulges yourself and watches R-rated movies. Just be a person who is a workaholic, who is so consumed with your business, who is so consumed with sports and leisure, so consumed with some hobby that you don't have any time for God. And you know what? Your heart will become hardened towards God. You could be a very moral person. You could be a very good person. You could be kind to a lot of people. You know, you could be the den mother of some group. You could be the one that volunteers for all the PTA functions. You could be so involved in all of the community activities that hardens your heart and keeps you from being used by God. Now, there's a balance to this. I'm not telling you that we need to withdraw and live in a monastery. I don't believe that the Scripture teaches that. But I am saying that there is a balance and that most people are out of balance. Their life is so occupied with things that even if they aren't sinful things, they're things that harden our heart and keep us from being sensitive to God. Man, that's powerful. You know, I'm going to continue this teaching on our program next week, so I encourage you to join me on Monday and also listen as our announcer gives you this information about how you can get this teaching on hardness of heart.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK58 titled The Cause, Part 1, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to give you an invitation to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It starts on Monday, June the 28th, and goes through Friday, July the 2nd. We also have morning services from 8 till noon on Tuesday through Friday, and our Bible college instructors will be ministering there. We're going to have a special CBC reception and an opportunity to be a part of our Caris Bible College. We've also got children's ministry for every age. It's just going to be a great time for the entire family at a beautiful time in Colorado Springs. So that's June the 28th through July the 2nd, our Summer Family Bible Conference. We encourage you to come and be a part of it.